listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Doug Casey here with us once again. I suppose most of you are very familiar with Doug, but since he has not been on our show for quite a while, a number of years, I believe, let me quickly share with you some of his remarkable achievements. After graduating from Georgetown in 1968, he went on to write a book that I first, really, the way I learned to know of Doug was his book, Crisis Investing, that was written in 1980, and it was a bestseller in the New York Times for a number of weeks straight, number one bestseller, and it ended up being the best-selling book, the financial book, in 1980, and he's been on radio shows, television shows, almost all of them that you can think of: David Letterman, Merv Griffin, Charlie Rose, Phil Donahue, NBC News, CNN. He's run the gamut and also been featured in Time, Forbes, People magazines, Washington Post, etc., etc. Doug is truly an international man. He's visited over 160 countries in his life, and he's lived in 10 different ones. Currently spends most of the year in Argentina and Uruguay. He sold Casey Research, which he had for a number of years, and now writes the at internationalman.com, as well as doing a YouTube podcast called Doug Casey's Take. And I must admit I haven't looked at that yet. I've got to go there and check it out, because I've always liked to hear what Doug has to say. Always provocative, and provides ideas that aren't commonly held by most people, which makes him very important. He's also written 3 books, along with co-authored with John Hunt. The Charles Knight High Ground series, a speculator, drug lord, and assassin. And he says there's 4 more on the way. So, Doug, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's a pleasure, Jay. It's nice to talk to you, even though you're in cold and snowy and New York.
And you're in the tropics.
It's actually, I've got a palm tree that I'm looking at here. So,
yeah, so eat your heart out, Taylor. I know, yeah. Anyway, so glad that you could join us. And, you know, I still remember, Doug, you and I were about the same age, and it was when we were both quite young when I saw you pop up there on one of those Good Morning America or one of those shows to tout your book, Crisis Investing. And that's the first I learned of you, and then was really excited to see you in person at various gold shows over the years, and have always really treasured your ideas and your insights. I did want to talk to you today about an article that Jeff Thomas wrote for your publication. But maybe before we go any further, for people to follow you, where should they? I guess they can just go to your website, probably. Where should they go to follow?
Go to internationalman.com. Uh-huh. We publish pretty good stuff. In fact, very good stuff. Free every day. So that's the best way to reach me.
Yes, you do. Publish a lot of good things. And that's what we want to talk to you about, one or more of them today. Jeff Thomas wrote this article, Capitalism Has Failed. And I would just, he started out as follows. He says, excuse me. Today, more than at any time previously, Westerners are justifying a move towards collectivist thinking with the phrase, capitalism has failed. In response to this, conservative thinkers offer a knee-jerk reaction that collectivism has also had a dismal record of performance. Neither group tends to gain any ground with the other group, but over time, the West has moved inexorably to the collectivist direction. As I see it, liberals are putting forward what appears on the surface to be a legitimate criticism, and conservatives are countering it with the apology that, yes, capitalism isn't failing, but collectivism is worse. Unfortunately, what we're seeing here is not classical logic, as Aristotle would have endorsed, but emotionalism that ignores the principles of logic, end of quote. So emotionalism, you know, over logic seems so obvious. I think wherever you look almost these days, I mean, Dr. Malone, for example, the inventor of RNA technology, is told to shut up, but he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's cut off of Twitter. You know, we have what I think is totally unscientific transgender confusion. We have even some woman selling her flatulence in a bottle. I mean, how crazy has the world become, Doug? And nobody seems to be really employing logic, but it is emotionalism, and all people do on either side, or whatever side they are, is want to punch each other out. So how did we get here?
Well, to start with, speaking to the first point you made, Jeff, about Jeff's article, Jay, it's that the conservatives are their own worst enemy. What we have today is not capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's actually what we, technically speaking, is fascism, which is state corporatism. Mm-hmm. What we have in the United States today is exactly the situation that Mussolini promoted in Italy before World War II, state corporatism, where money, power, favors, everything goes through the government. An immensely profitable, an immensely powerful government hooked up with corporations. It's different from socialism. In socialism, the state owns the means of production, okay? That's mm-hmm. the actual definition of socialism. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. Mm-hmm. The means of production, factories, fields, farms, that type of thing, are owned by individuals and corporations, but they're controlled by and taxed by and mm-hmm. regulated by the state. Mm-hmm. That's what we have today. It's not capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's pure free market capitalism is something where you own something and the state's not involved. Listen, if you look at a chart of what's happened over the 20th and 21st centuries, the state has gone from a minor influence on anything. There was no income tax. There was no sales tax. There was no value-added tax. There was no regulation. Mm-hmm. And the economy was compounding and booming. Okay. Mm-hmm. But now the state's involved everywhere, has huge taxes, and despite the huge taxes, it's bankrupt. And worse than that, they're trying to get bigger. I mean, Biden's Build Back Better program is going to add trillions and trillions of dollars in new spending, which means that average Americans are going to become more and more reliant upon the government. Mm-hmm. And once you give people something, you can't take it away. So the prognosis is very negative, in my opinion. I hate to say that. Nobody likes to be a negative Nelly or a Debbie mm-hmm. Downer or anything mm-hmm. like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, things are going to be grim. We've entered upon the Greater Depression, which is what I call it. Mm-hmm. Period of time when most people's standard of living drops significantly, mm-hmm. which has been happening. For quite a while, actually. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the government gets bigger, it takes more of the financial resources away, and you know, if it has really, you know, I'd like to say, how can we have capitalism when there's no price discovery of capital? How can you really have capitalism when they push interest rates down to where they are? But one thing I wonder, Doug, I often ask myself. Why in the world, if you talk to people about what capitalism is, they don't understand it. They don't understand even the banking system and how money is magically multiplied through thin air, you know, and they don't understand the mechanics of capitalism or the monetary system. How can a capitalist system survive if people are ignorant about capitalism and the virtues of it, how it works so well, why capitalism is the only system in which countries really become wealthy? And socialism really socialism takes away capital and hence future growth. It's just so obvious. I mean, it encourages consumption. Ever since Keynes, we've been, you know, encouraged to consume our way to being prosperous. Well, that hasn't really worked out very well, although it's worked very well for the top 1%, I suppose, as you know, every time we pump more money in the system, the equity markets go up, it seems, although that may be coming to an end. But why do you think it is a capitalist country never teaches its students in school about the virtues or even the mechanics of capitalism? It doesn't have to even, they just told people how capitalism worked. I think a lot of people would figure out why it works so well. Why do you think we never, schools don't teach it?
Well, look, for many years, I've said that you shouldn't go to college unless you want to learn a STEM subject, science, technology, engineering, or math. Everything else you can learn, and you'd be better off learning by yourself. Mm-hmm. Trouble is, when you go to college, you're being indoctrinated by intellectuals. And these intellectuals think that they're smart enough to be able to control other people and control the economy. Mm-hmm. And for generations, students have been told that the government should be in charge of things. The wise Solons in the government are so much better and wiser than greedy businessmen. So we've had generations of Americans that have been indoctrinated with totally phony economics and totally phony ethical theories besides, which is even worse. The things that they think are morally good are actually morally bad. So when somebody is indoctrinated with these things at a young age, it's really hard to unlearn these things once they're taught to you. So it's cause for pessimism, because almost everybody goes to college today misallocating hundreds of thousands of dollars and 4 years of valuable time sitting at a desk listening to socialists and wokists and welfare stateites drone on about the way they think the world ought to be. And everybody seems to accept it. The media mouths the same thing. Sports figures mouth the same thing. Corporations and their ads say the same thing. So we've got a nasty trend that's been in motion and accelerating for years. And it's only getting worse in a lot of ways. The average standard of living for the average person has been maintained only by huge amounts of debt.
Yeah.
But the problem with debt is that, look, when you have savings, it means that you're producing more than you consume, and you're putting that aside. Mm-hmm. When you have debt, it means you're consuming more than you produce. Now, how is that possible? Either you're living out of the capital that somebody else has saved in the past when you borrow, or you're mortgaging your future. And when people talk about the immense amount of debt that we have in the United States, that is the problem. And it goes beyond that. The major export, well, first of all, the United States is running about $1 trillion per year export deficit. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It means that not just individuals in the U.S. are very deeply in debt, but the country as a whole is. In other words, those nice Germans and Japanese send us Sonys and Mercedes and things like that, and we send them dollars, about $1 trillion a year. But that really amounts to debt, because at some point, those dollars, I don't know how many trillions, nobody knows how many trillions are floating around outside the U.S., are going to come back home and buy corporations and land and everything else from Americans. Those dollars will be redeemed here. Mm-hmm. So we have yet to even begin to reap the whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. I think you're talking about the demolition of sovereignty, essentially.
Well, that's correct. People talk about democracy. We have a democracy in this country. No, you don't. I mean, you're presented with an alternative between a Tweedledee on the right side and a Tweedledum on the left side. And that's the choice you get. So is that democracy, entirely apart from the fact that in reality, in a country of 300 million people who have vastly differing desires and beliefs, it's more like mob rule.
Yes, right.
And anyway, you can't have a democracy. You can have a democracy when the people in a country share the same values, share the same history, share the same language, share the same beliefs. Mm-hmm. That's possible. They're all kind of on the same page. They have a common culture. But that's no longer the case in the U.S. Historical statues being overturned, historical values are being trashed. People from all over the world that have totally different beliefs, religions, cultures are coming in. The United States is actually a multinational domestic empire at this point. It's not the democracy that we're told it is. Well, things change, okay?
Yeah.
Everything changes over time, but that's the way things stand right now. But it doesn't augur well for the financial markets, which is, I guess, what we mostly talk about
right,
on the show.
Yeah, for sure, Doug. And I wanted to ask you before we run out of time, I mean, if you and I are old enough to remember when there was still some semblance of honest money in, you know, in existence. It never was perfect, but of course, dollars couldn't be created so easily until 1971. Of course, it was we lost the ability individuals did to own gold in the 1930s under Roosevelt. But to what extent, if we had remained on some sort of a quasi gold international gold standard as we had prior to 1971, do you think we could have entered into such a rapid decline as we have?
No, because when you destroy the money, you destroy the average person's ability to get ahead. Look, why do most third world countries, why are they shitholes and why do they stay shitholes? Because in a place like Zambia, if a guy is trying to get ahead, he's got to save the local currency, which is a kwacha. Well, how do you save a kwacha, which is decreasing in value by 20% per year? You can't. You can't get ahead. And that's what's happening with Americans. We have nothing to save and therefore nothing to buy stocks or buy real estate. So it all rests on the currency in the country. It's a subtle form of theft when they inflate the currency. And that's what they're doing. And actual inflation in the U.S. is not the 7% they report. That's a lie. It's more like 10 to 15%, and I'm afraid it's going higher.
Yep.
We're headed towards financial chaos, Jay.
Yeah, I'm afraid we are. And Doug, you know, you provide some insights, some ideas of how people, you know, it is what it is, we like to say, but we don't like to say, but it is what it is, we have to say. But how can you do the best, you know, how can you best protect yourself given these undesirable directions that we're headed? And I know that you offer a lot of that, you know, at internationalman.com, and people should really check in there to learn what you have to say. I think you have some things coming up now that I noticed some video that's coming up, perhaps, where you might provide some of that guidance to people.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of that type of thing there. But if I was to sum it up very briefly, what do you have to do? What should the guy listening to this say, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about the way things are going in this country. What can I do? Well, forget about politics. You've got to center on yourself. And what do? Think, you've got to produce more than you consume. Figure out how to produce more. Offer value to the marketplace. Produce more than you consume and save the difference. How should you save the difference? I think even today you should buy gold and silver coins. Learn how to do it and do it. So that's number one. And that's by far the most important thing. The second thing, I guess, is to learn economics. Learn to speculate. Because in the years to come, most of the real wealth in the world is still going to be there. It's just going to change ownership. But in order to profit from it, as opposed to be washed away and devastated by the titanic fluctuations we're going to see in the marketplace, you have to know something about economics. You have to know something about investing. You have to know something about speculation. Easier said than done. It takes work to learn. But those are the two important things that you should do from an economic point of view.
All right. I would also add, and I think you would agree with this, is have good friends and have a neighbor, have neighbors around you that you can help each other out with when times are difficult, I think. I mean,
absolutely. And I can assure you, Jay, that I do not surround myself with the kind of people that would vote for Jay Biden, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Well, I suspect that a good number of our listeners feel the same way, and I suspect there may be some in there that don't feel that way. But in any event, it's sound advice from my perspective, Doug. And thank you so much for spending time with us. And we'll try to get people to go to that site, get them to go to internationalman.com. I need to spend a bit more time there myself. So thank you so much, Doug. It's really great hearing, hearing from you again.
Good talking to you, Jay. We'll have to do it more often.
I would like that. Thank you so much. All right, folks. Well, that is it for this week. Next week, Kevin Duffy, the author of The Coffee Can Portfolio, will be with me. Patrick Highsmith of Firefox Gold and Michael Oliver will be back with us again. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.